This is the problem. Take a pair of scales.
If somebody asks you to do a random word association on the word psychopath, the grim words serial killer would probably appear somewhere on your list. But many of the characteristics of psychopaths are shared by politicians and heroes. Yes, the psychopath who would burn down your house is in many ways similar to the hero who would rescue your loved ones from the same burning house. One of the earliest appraisals of psychopathy was by the ancient Greek philosopher Theophrastus about 2,400 years ago. In his book, The Characters, he carefully lists some 30 moral temperaments. One of these he calls the unscrupulous man who will, according to Theophrastus, and I quote, go and borrow more money from a creditor he has yet to pay back, unquote. Now, there are many different characteristics associated with psychopathy. They include, on one hand, having virtually no conscience, no impulse control, no guilt, no empathy, and no remorse. On the other hand, psychopaths are quite fearless, both mentally and physically, can focus really well, are strong-minded, and are superficially charming. As a result, they are very persuasive and are very skilled at manipulation of others. For example, psychopaths have, and I quote, a great proficiency in persuading parole boards to release them into the community, unquote. They are also very egocentric, very dishonest, as well as being both callous and ruthless, and virtually immune to anxiety. They are very happy to indulge in risk-taking behaviour and tend to have a grandiose sense of self-worth. About 1% of us are true psychopaths, with women being represented half as often as men. Another 10 to 15% of us are in the almost psychopathic category. Now, it's not all intangible. No, the underlying emotional deficit of psychopathy seems to be linked to some physical aspects. For example, psychopathy is linked to a poor sense of smell. One study of 79 people who had been diagnosed to be non-criminal psychopaths and who were living in the community tested their sense of smell. They were offered 16 pens that carried 16 different odours such as leather, orange and coffee. Even though they could register that an odour was present, they could not easily tell the difference between one scent and another, between orange and coffee. This poor sense of smell seems to point a finger at a part of the psychopath brain called the orbitofrontal complex. Not only does it process smells, it is also involved in controlling impulses and in planning. But what if you have some, but not all, of the characteristics of a psychopath? One characteristic possessed by psychopaths that is very useful for political leaders is called fearless dominance. It involves a total lack of apprehension or concern or worry about social and physical situations that would scare most of us. Back in 1982, the psychologist D.T. Licken said that both psychopaths and heroes are, and I quote, twigs from the same branch, unquote. The so-called hero populations are those who work in the military, law enforcement, the rescue services, and so on. On one hand, these heroes have some of the characteristics of psychopaths: immunity from stress, ability to focus, social dominance, and fearlessness. But on the other hand, they do not carry other psychopathic tendencies such as lack of conscience, antisocial behaviour, impulsivity, and narcissism. Suppose that a person does have several psychopathic factors in their character. Well, yes, but to understand them more deeply, you should also factor in other characteristics such as intelligence and a tendency to violence. This gives you four possible results. If you are not particularly smart and non-violent, you'll probably end up as some kind of petty criminal, maybe a burglar. The second option is that you are not particularly intelligent, but you are violent. In this scenario, you could end up as an enforcer or a low-level hood. Things change when you add intelligence to the mix. In the third scenario, if you are both intelligent and violent on top of your psychopathic tendencies, you could end up as a criminal mastermind or working in the special forces. But if you're psychopathic, intelligent and non-violent, you could be a hero or a surgeon, a lawyer, or head of a big corporation. In 2006, P. Babiak and Robert D. Hare referred to psychopaths in business settings as snakes in suits. But now that you've finally gotten used to looking out for wolves in sheep's clothing, you have to go one step further to find the snake in a suit. But at least you'll know that the snake in a suit will be up high, not low to the ground.
What does it mean? Why is it so?